You're listening to Mountain West Voices. I'm Clay Scott. In the West African country of Liberia, the American influence is everywhere. The country was established in the 1800s by freed slaves from the United States. The government was constructed on the U.S. model, and towns and settlements were given names like Virginia, Louisiana, or the capital, Monrovia, named after James Monroe. But when Wilmot Collins was growing up in Liberia, it never occurred to him that he'd end up in the United States, let alone Montana. He was from a comfortable, upper-middle-class family. He'd gone to university on a tennis scholarship and gotten degrees in sociology and political science. In 1989, he was married, he was teaching, he was about to enter law school, and he was contemplating a career in the Liberian Foreign Service.
Life was pretty easy. Go to school, after school, play tennis, play basketball, play baseball, softball. But things started deteriorating when the military took over. Things got scary because we were not as free as before. You couldn't say anything negative about the government, the military government, because if you did, the next day you could find your whole family missing.
The relatively easy and carefree life Wilmot and his wife Maddie had grown up with suddenly started to deteriorate. They started to learn to be careful what they did and who they talked to, and then civil war broke out, and life in Liberia turned into a nightmare.
I lost two brothers in the war. Both of them were younger than me. One got killed by the soldiers, and one got killed by the rebels.
Wilmot's brothers were among more than 200,000 people who were killed in just a few months out of a population of barely more than 3 million. People started pouring out of the country, desperate for any way out, as Liberia disintegrated. Wilmot and Maddie heard about a cargo ship that was taking on refugees. They had no idea where it was going, and they didn't care. They waited in line at the docks for 3 days and nights, and they were finally allowed to board along with several thousand of their countrymen. The ship took them to the neighboring country of Ghana. In Liberia, Wilmot had taught at a school run by a children's organization. In Ghana, they made their way to an orphanage run by the same organization. They were given food and shelter, but they knew they couldn't stay there indefinitely. In high school, Maddie had been an exchange student in Helena, Montana, staying at the home of Bruce and Joyce Noxheim.
She had kept in touch with them. They were her family away from here. And while we're in Ghana, she contacted them, and they were more than willing to help us come on over to America. But the process was not easy. We realized from the American embassy the only way we could come to the U.S. was we had to enter school, and we had to show means of paying for our education, and that we couldn't because we had fled Liberia with just the clothes on our backs.
The Noxheims were relentless, and they persuaded Carroll College in Helena to offer Maddie a full scholarship. Maddie had been in medical school in Liberia, but in Helena she would study nursing. It didn't matter to her. It was a way out. The only catch was that Wilmot would have to stay behind. And there was another complication as well. A few days before Maddie left for the United States, she learned she was pregnant. After she left, Wilmot began petitioning the U.S. Embassy for a visa to be able to join his wife. It was a long and frustrating process. After their daughter Jamie was born in Helena, Wilmot went back to the embassy, saying he now had a close American relative. His visa was still refused. At one point, immigration officials called Maddie in Helena and asked her to bring her baby to the phone.
And she said, "Jamie is too young. She can't come to the phone." And then they identified themselves as INS. They were making sure that the baby was alive and well in the home. And then they said, "Well, your husband will be joining you soon." That soon took another year and 3 months. When I finally saw my name on the board to come to America, it was 2 years and 7 months later. My daughter was almost turning two. And I was too scared to even tell them that I was coming because I wasn't sure it was real. And finally, I called and told them, "I'm coming to America."
On a February day a few weeks later, Wilmot arrived in Helena, Montana. The place was strange to him, and the cold was shocking to a West African, but he didn't care.
I had not seen my daughter. I had not touched my daughter. And she was turning 2 years old. It was unbelievable. I never thought I would be able to see my family again. So finally being able to see them on neutral grounds where we were as free can be, where we didn't have to be afraid, we didn't have to whisper, was awesome. Yeah.
You've been listening to Wilmot Collins. He and Maddie still live in Helena, Montana. Both of them have served in the U.S. military. Maddie is in the Army Reserve, and Wilmot is in the Navy Reserve. Their daughter, Jamie, is on active duty with the Navy, and their son, Bliss, is about to go off to his first year of college. Mountain West Voices is produced in association with the O'Connor Center for the Rocky Mountain West, a regional studies and public education program of the University of Montana. Additional support is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation. To hear more stories from around the Rocky Mountain West, go to mountainwestvoices.org. I'm Clay Scott.